out there. This is Matt, and Brad again is muted at the beginning of the show. Welcome back to the final cast on the Paddle and Fin Network. I'm Matt.
Brad.
You're an idiot.
Like, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Did you see how I'm sitting here at the beginning of the show, like, sideways? Like,
yeah, you're like, I don't, like, what are you doing? What are you trying, to be like an OG or something? Because it's not looking.
I'm just trying to entertain the masses, the millions of people that listen to us.
Dude, I wish that was the case. That'd be awesome. It's all right. I like the amount of followers we have because it's not too many, and I get to talk to them all the time. Yeah. So I'm about that. Man, how you doing, Brad? How you doing?
I'm doing swell, brother. How are you?
I haven't got the fish yet still, so I'm not doing great.
Yeah, I've been I went twice last week and I got skunked both days. So
I saw you went out and I saw Justin caught a tanky tank and I was like, well,
did he?
Yeah, he caught a decent one.
Oh, that was the day. So I went out with him that day and he caught that fish on the first cast. I think it was like a 17 incher. I was out there for like an hour and it was like 40 mile an hour winds. I got so pissed off. I just went home. Like, it sucks, I didn't tell Justin, dude. I didn't even tell Justin bye. I went home.
I just left him on the water in the middle of winter.
Oh my gosh. I was so mad.
Dude, I hate that. I've had those days and it's just so rough. Like, even with the motor, that is the only drawback with the kayak, right? So even with a motor, with spot lock on, Torquedo, Newport, whatever floats your boat, if the wind is bad enough, it doesn't matter and you're just in for a bad time.
Yep.
Just how it goes.
And you react the same way to when it's windy too. Justin laughs at us.
Yeah, I know. And it makes no sense because I don't know how he's not front. Justin's just, he's a laid back type of guy though. I don't think in the years and years of knowing Justin that I've ever seen him get mad. But like when it's windy, like, I mean, you've seen it. I get pissed immediately. Like expletives are getting thrown out. I'm throwing crap. I'm anger, like hate paddling my way back or hate pedaling my way back. That's how I loosened one of the arms on my P127 on the native drive. I literally pedaled too hard. I was pissed.
Yeah, dude,
I just hate the wind. I hate it so much. But
I looked at it before I went out there too, and I was like, I don't even want to go. But then I made myself go, and then I hated myself for it.
Well, at least you got to go out, I guess.
I was happy when I got home.
Well, yeah. The plus is after this weekend, we will both have brand new boats, which we'll get to talk in the show in the coming weeks of our reviews. So I'm pumped for that. I'm not going to tell anybody what the boat is because I want to make it a surprise on Instagram. Even though the show comes out after, I'm probably going to post on Instagram about it. So it is what it is. But it is whatever. But let's get into the show. I'm excited for this because I love having new companies and smaller companies and companies that maybe not everyone knows about on the show. And especially when the guest is the Paddle and Fin's very own Brian Schiller. Brian, how are you, boss man?
Can I take a guess? Is it the RVR?
It is the RVR.
I mean, I figured as much. I actually got to see it. We had one in the booth at the Chicago show and it was super cool to see all the, integrations Hans Newts put in that boat. I was impressed, man. I think you're gonna dig it.
Dude, I hope so. I'm just pissed that we had Mr. Newts on the show right after ICAS and he like told us all these things, had a 3D print, and then I see the boat for the first time and it's got like an integrated drop skeg. I thought it'd be something like it's all on how it's built. Oh dude, I wish I would have known, but I'm kind of happy I didn't because it was a super awesome surprise. Yeah, I'm pumped.
It'll be cool, man. I'm interested to see what folks think of it once they get it on the water. But I think
I'm gonna try it out.
It looks way more comfortable than an 11.7, and it'll definitely perform better than an 11.7.
Yeah,
just by looking at it, you know, it's a super cool, interesting boat for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. But Brian, everyone will probably know you from your own show on the Paddle and Fin Network, but just in case they don't, give us a rundown. Who you are, what do you like to do, long walks on the beach,
Yeah, I was going to say definitely long walks on the beach, holding hands with you two, one on each side, as we cuddle and reminisce on fishing stories down by the camp there.
At Dale Hollow, while Jimmy comes through the door,
What do you think I'm looking forward to April? I've been on here so many times, man. Obviously, I'm, you know, the guy that makes sure that all the episodes on Paddle and Fin get uploaded, and I do the OG show and all that types of good stuff. But recently got a new job doing marketing for a company called Dubro Fishing, and you know, our biggest claim to fame is 99% of all the stuff we make is made in house, made in the USA, which is a proud thing to have nowadays. You don't see it as much.
Oh yeah.
But interesting background on the company. It actually started in 1959 by a guy named Dewey Broberg, who loved remote control airplanes, and he started making hardware and parts and stuff for that, and grew this huge company. So if you got a remote control airplane, boat, car, stuff like that, there's more than likely a Dubro part on there, which is super cool. And that's how, you know, our company started. And then you fast forward to the 80s, and as Dewey retired, his son Jim took over the company, and his two favorite things to do were hunt and fish. So that's where Dubro Fishing was born and Pine Ridge Archery. So we're three companies under one roof, and it's the same across the board. You know, all our stuff is made in house for the most part, except for, you know, the small little things that we can't get from the States. And that's usually due to, you know, EPA regulations and stuff like that you can't make here. But
down,
you know,
down with the government.
Yeah. But, you know, as, you know, they started dabbling in the fishing stuff, it was like, you know, on the RC or hobby side, whatever you want to refer to it as, is, you know, when they started doing that stuff, they started like making machinery to make these parts. We do a lot of plastic injection molding, you know, threaded rods, things like that we use for the hobby side, which we were like, oh, well, we have a solution for this. We already have these parts, or we can have a mold make to, you know, work in one of our injection molding machines. And, you know, small things have kind of been born from that. You know, the old owner really liked fishing trout and salmon on Lake Michigan, and then saltwater fishing down in the Gulf. So we got like a lot of trolling and downrigging type, you know, little gizmos and gadgets. And then, you know, along with that, they made a lot of bait making tools to go along with those two kind of types of fishing. And then as years progressed, you know, our biggest thing, in which we'll dive into, I'm sure, is, you know, our rod racks, rod storage. And that's probably the hottest moving item that we make, just because it doesn't matter what type of fishing you do. You know, it's nice to be able to store your rods, not have to worry about breaking rod tips and things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and slowly we're working into the bass market with some of our baits and things like that. And, yeah, man, it's been a cool experience thus far. And, I get to play a little bit on the R&D side as well. And, you know, we're always trying to, you know, come up with, not reinvent the wheel, but solutions to problems we see out there. Yeah. Or, you know, see something like, oh, it'd be cool if we did this, you know, I could see utilizing this. And, you know, there's been stuff in the past, like I had a conversation with my boss today, Well, fast forward to 2020, the guy that owns the company now actually bought the company right before COVID hit. Nobody knew what COVID was at the time.
Yeah.
But he had had my job in marketing, and he came from a TV background. He used to film for Midwest Outdoors and stuff like that. And he got hired on to do some marketing stuff. And that's when they were, you know, working on a lot of the fishing and archery items. And, you know, he worked there for 18 or 19 years. And then he ended up purchasing the company basically January 1st of 2020. And then COVID hit and everything went crazy, and they got through it. And, you know, the fishing and archery division and even the hobby divisions really succeeded even more than what they already were, just because we know everything in the outdoors was crazy during that time. So, you know, fast forward to now, they got, I'm sorry, the gal that was doing marketing moved on to a different career, and the spot opened up. I took it, and yeah, now I'm there, and you know, get to play with fishing and hunting stuff, doing my favorite things all day. So,
you're kind of like the perfect guy for the job, man, because like you've been around the fishing side for so long, you know, like what issues and like what you need to do to make things perfect for people that are out there on the water.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, my boss is, he's a bass fisherman too. And he'll be the first to admit he's not the greatest bass fisherman out there, but he loves bass fishing compared to, you know, like he's got a place way up northern Wisconsin, and, you know, walleye and muskie are huge up there. So he's done a lot of that fishing, you know, and, he's got a son who's in high school who he loves getting out on the water with, and they love catching bass and stuff. And, you know, so that's where, like, you know, we kind of see a trajectory going for us currently is kind of diving into the bass market, because we haven't even really touched it with the exception of, like, I guess you could call our rod holders, you know, part of that. So, and then we got some other stuff too, right? Like, you know, we'll talk about it, but we're bringing a product back that was actually designed like late 80s. And, you know, they were trying to market it to big boats and stuff. But I got shown this thing and I was like, dude, this is perfect for a kayak. Like, why'd you get rid of this? Like, this is perfect. And, you know, we could talk about that. So, you know, it's kind of cool, man, to be on all aspects of it. But, you know, the company, you know, goes all the way back to 59, and it's kind of crazy because like we have some old articles and advertisements and stuff hanging on the walls at the office, and like blueprints and patents and stuff, and it's super cool. I'm a history guy, so I love seeing that stuff, you know, and knowing there's a history there. And you know, it's always been a you know, the main focus has been made in the USA for years. And they continue to strive to that, even with struggles of, you know, during COVID with, you know, shortages on certain items. Obviously, plastic, there was a huge shortage there for a while. Mm-hmm. We all know with kayaks and stuff like that. And that affected them too, you know. So obviously, they're not dealing as big a quantities as a kayak, you know, but we still pump out quite a bit of stuff in plastic for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's awesome that you guys were able to pull through, because I mean, like, you know, and we know, even people that we know in the industry, a lot of places shut down. They weren't able to get stuff and they just couldn't weather. So I'm probably having that history since 59 and having pretty much dabbling in a lot of different aspects. And like you said, and we both know, me and Brad have complained about it on the show before, but COVID saw like the biggest surge of outdoorsmanship.
Yeah,
because no one could do anything. I know
100%,
I saw more people in the water than I've ever seen, and more people in a stand or lack of just walking through the woods, bumbling around, scaring everything that lived. So,
yeah, I mean, their customer base, you know, on the fishing side almost doubled, you know, during COVID, which, you know, was crazy. And they were like, all right, we'll take it while we can get it, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the big thing, you know, I focus on right now is just staying on that curve, you know, staying in touch with our customers and being relatable. And, you know, you want them to stick around, and a lot of them have. And it's funny, like when I look at analytics and stuff, like, you know, it's pretty much like 50-50, like, you know, per week, like 50% return customers plus 50% new customers, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. We're out there in the forefront, you know, like I always say, battling it out in the streets, you know, and just, you know, trying to just stay relevant and stay ahead of things. And, you know, and that's the thing, like, you know, we've had conversations at the office, like, you know, I got social media background with, you know, podcasts, you know, my personal fishing stuff, things like that. So, you know, they were posting like once every like 3 to 5 days. And I'm like, yeah, this has got to change.
I know, like, man.
Real quick, you know? So go ahead, man.
I've talked to Jimmy about this before, and just like, there's, I'm not going to name the companies, but there's companies out there, they won't post at all. And I'm like, yeah, give me your account. I can help you guys.
Name it. Well, and that was the same thing too. Like when I was going through the job interview process, I was like, look, I've looked at all your stuff, obviously, because I want to know where I'm coming to work, you know? Mm-hmm. And if I don't get the job, like, at least let me help you there, because you guys are really struggling, and that's something you guys could really, really capitalize on.
Yeah.
And, you know, in all facets of that, you know, it's just like right now I'm like, it's crazy stupid, like what some companies spend on marketing, like towards things that aren't really relevant anymore, like TV or magazines, things like that. I'm like, dude, like we could be putting money towards social media that's like a fraction of the cost and doing twice as good, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or if not 10 times as good, you know? So it's kind of cool, man, being on that end of things, you know, and seeing how that works in a bigger company. You know, we do quite a bit of business, and, you know, between the three companies, and it's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it's sorry, Brad, I didn't mean to say it, but I think it's awesome that you're coming into that with that mindset, because social media is taking over every industry.
Oh yeah.
And it's to the point where I'm like at Cabela's or Field and Stream, and you see, like, I grew up with going to Bass Pro or Dick's or something and seeing the fishing magazine and seeing the hunting magazine, wanting to buy it so I can read it. But man, now I see them, I'm like, dude, I can't believe people like spend X amount of dollars, because it's not cheap to get a full page ad in a magazine.
Yeah.
To where they could spend a quarter of that. I think Facebook, if you spend $20, it'll reach 10,000 accounts.
Well, I could tell you, like, on the print side, right? Like, we recently did a full page ad in Inside Archery, and that was like, I mean, I don't think I'm gonna be in trouble for saying this. I mean, it's pretty well known, but I think it was like $2,000, you know, and that was a full page ad, but it included some other ads with that, you know, down the road, and some product spotlight stuff. But still, I mean, that's quite a bit of money. I mean, granted, in the archery industry, it makes sense for us there, because that particular magazine goes to every dealer, manufacturer, you know, bow shop, you know, and it's out there for the general public to read. You know, it's kind of like an industry magazine. You know, it's like the Kayak Angler magazine of archery, so to speak, you know. So you know, it's one of those things, like you know, you still got to dabble in it somewhat, because you know, not everybody is caught up with the times. And especially, and it's funny, because like on the hobby end of things, right, like a lot of those guys are older retired dudes, and no offense to them, but like, we still have guys that call and order over the phone. I had a dude the other day tell me he was going to mail us a check for his order. It's like, whoa. Like, there's old guys that like still like write their order down on a piece of paper and mail it in. Like, you know,
that's crazy.
So like those guys are still like reading the newspaper and magazines and stuff like that. So, you know, you got to cater to your audience. Obviously, fishing industry, I mean, you obviously have some older guys like that still in the fishing world, but, you know, I would say 85% of them are still, you know, are younger and caught up with the times of technology and things like that. So
that's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
How times have changed.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say after Matt talked, but it's all good.
You'll remember. Sorry. It's because you're wearing a Pittsburgh hat, bro. We understand.
Hey, I got this on too.
And he's got a Pirates sweater on. Oh my God.
Hey man, NFL's over. He's ready for baseball to start.
Well, I would have expected him to have a Penguins shirt on because he knows how much I despise Sidney Crosby.
Oh yeah.
But that's all right.
Actually,
that's
all right. I got a Penguins jersey with my name on the back. My wife got me. It's pretty
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll leave those comments to myself or after the show ends.
I know what I'm wearing to Dale Hollow now. All right. So
nothing.
Well, yes, yeah. But that's later. I have to drive there, and we can't be like the guy we saw last year drinking a
bud
on the way down.
No, boy.
Did we ever talk about that on the podcast?
I don't think we did. We were going down, and I was driving, and we were going through like the back hills. We were what, maybe an hour away from Dale Hollow, like from the marina. And I just go over, and for people watching on the YouTube, this is my face. I was literally driving, I looked over, and I was like,
I saw him too.
That
I was like, I looked
at Brad. Yeah. And he just sped off. And I was like, dude, he's just smacking on a Corona. So I drove faster and got behind it. And this dude just sitting with a foot up on the dash, just drinking a Corona. And I was like, what's going on here?
Tennessee is a different world, my friend.
Yeah. Like he was
from Georgia. From Georgia, and it had a big ATL sticker on it. And I was like, dude, like this guy's just balling out in the middle of the woods on this back highway where I've seen like 18 Final Destination log trucks. Like he's ready to die. Like, oh man, I can't believe it waited almost a year to talk about that, but maybe we'll get lucky and we'll see something else on the way down there. And we'll nail you.
You always see something on the way down that way, man.
I tell you what, you are not wrong, but let's jump into this. Brad, where do you want to start product wise? Because we got a
let's start with their most popular.
The rod rack. About it.
The rod rack. So Ryan's into some of these. So I haven't installed them yet. Just an FYI.
Yeah. So Maddie's holding up we call that the hang 'em high. And Brad got the Track Rod Plus. But so that hang 'em high is nice. I actually just did an install video and I put one up in my garage to do that install video because we had a couple questions from people that have bought the product and on like how to mount it and things like that. So, you know, I had this chintzy rod rack that I made out of 3/4 inch plywood. I drilled like 1.5 inch holes and routered them and all this stuff. But, you know, that wood is still rough. On the actual hangers, that's all molded plastic and it's a very heavy duty dense nylon. It has no fiberglass in it. So like customers are always concerned, like, does this have fiberglass? Will it scratch my rods? And no, it's 100% plastic. It's just a different type of plastic. But it's cool. So yeah, Matt's showing the picture on the back and when I first saw that, like I saw a picture of like all the rods facing one way, like butt ends on one end, rod tips on the other. And I'm like looking at it in my garage and I'm like, why couldn't I just, you know, in each slot, you know, put a rod facing each direction in one slot. So it's got 8 slots. So I literally put 16 rods in that little thing and it's 2 feet wide. Or long, however you want to, you know, describe it. And then you space it out evenly. But, you know, it's super easy to install. All those plastic pieces slide right in what we know is gear track. You know, it's pretty much the same gear track that's on all the kayaks and the plastic pieces in both styles. Just slide right in there and it's a real snug fit. And then the end caps are what actually holds those in place. And that's where you screw in. So it's 2 screws per bar. And so you got 4 screws and you're done. I mean, you could put like a 3rd screw in the center of the track and we have holes punched in the bottom of that track. So you could, you know, screw or, you know, if you had drywall, you could put like a molly in there, like a heavy duty molly, you know, depending on what, you know, how heavy your rods are. But I mean, the one that I put up in my garage, I did, I think I got two or three trolling rods hanging in there. They're like ugly sticks with big line counter reels, two fly rods, and a bunch of conventional bass rods, both bait casters and spinning reels, you know, or spinning rods. And super nice, compact, lightweight, and super easy to install. It's like dummy proof. But what they did, and it's perfect for guys too with like boats, because they pull their boat into the garage, you know, your ceiling's right there. So if you're sitting in your boat, you can just grab and go with your rods and put them in your boat.
Yeah. You
know? I got an overhanging shelf in my garage that I mounted mine to, and I can link the video in the show notes for you guys too when I go to upload it. But super easy install, man, and it's just super, super easy to use. That would be for a ceiling application, whereas the tracker rod could be both horizontal, vertical, on a wall, or used on a ceiling application. But guys that were kind of reaching up to like slide their butt ends into the ring ends and then clip into the hook ends on the tracker rod wanted something a little easier access. So that's why we came up with the hang 'em high. It's just nice and easy. So that came after the tracker rod, the one that Matt was just showing up, the hang 'em high. It's one of our newer rod racks, but you know, for guys that have tons of rods or they don't want to like scissor their rods into each slot, we have a little piece that connects gear tracks. So now you can add on 1, 2, 3, 4, as many as you need across the ceiling of your garage and have them all right there interconnected, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just like a little track connector piece that we mold and make in-house to connect the tracks together.
I didn't realize that.
Well, in your Tracker Rod Plus, when you go to put that up, that's got some, I believe that's got some shorter gear track pieces, and there is those connector pieces to connect those together. So with the Tracker Rod Plus, it actually started with the Tracker Rod, and we would sell that in either 2-foot or 4-foot sections. The 2-foot section would hold 6 rods, and the 4-foot section holds 8 rods. And that's pretty much set, ready to go out of the package. You know, the problem that we had with that is a lot of people are like, well, I only got 8 rods. I don't need these extra ones. Or, you know, and then not only that, but because it's a 4-foot long piece, the lovely UPS people like to overcharge you for shipping.
Oh my goodness.
So we, you know, this was before my time, but they were like, you know, how can we come up with a solution with this? So they did the smaller track pieces with the interconnecting pieces. And now that Tracker Rod Plus is, will hold 8 rods. So each gear section holds 4 rods. And then if you're a guy that's got 12 or 16 rods or whatever, you can actually order add-on pieces. Or you could just order 2 Tracker Rod Pluses. Now you're holding 16 rods instead of the 12 you were limited with the 4-foot section, and then getting charged the extra shipping.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you can't please everybody, and you know how it is. Like fishermen, they like to complain about everything, and, you know, no offense to anybody, but you know, that's what we do. We listen to our customers and we get feedback, and we're like, all right, how do we solve this problem? Right. And that's what we came up with, and it's really worked. And you know, those interconnecting pieces, you know, it strengthens up that rack. Yeah, that's the Tracker Rod Plus there. So that's 8 rods, and you could see the hooks. So that black piece on the hooks is actually it's a really, really soft plastic, and we actually use that to make our kisser buttons for archery bows. So it's a soft plastic and it flexes. So your rod tip end, you know, you're not going to put it on the tip. You're going to be a couple guides down, but you just slide it up against that and it'll bend so you can get your tip in there. And then your rod's totally secure. It's not going to fall out of that holder.
Yeah.
And you know, for $32.50 to hold your rods on the wall. And like I said, you could do that vertical like it's pictured right now, but you can also turn that and mount them sideways. You know, say you don't have the up and down space, but you do have, you know, this section in your garage that's 8 foot wide, you know, for 8 foot rods. Now, bam, you can mount them horizontally. So when I did that video, I mounted them horizontally just to show that. But this picture here, this is the, I believe this is the old owner of the company's, or no, that might be Jim Crowley's place. He does a TV show called Hook and Hunt TV. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got, God, if I had a guess, there's probably 32 rods there on the one wall. Jeez. In his garage.
Oh, yeah. Something. I mean, it's full.
So, I mean, that's just it, right? Not, you know, some people have two rods, some people have 40, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we all got problems, right? Yeah. And having 40 rods is a good problem to have. But, you know, that tracker rod, it's modular, and you can make it fit whatever way you want. Now, on the tracker rod, you have a set screw, so you could set the hooks and the actual rings that your butt end would slide into. So it's nice and secure. They don't slide around in the track because you're going to want to space those out due to, you know, your reel arms or, you know, handle coming off. So you don't want those stacked right on top of each other. So you got to space them out. So you got a little set screw. And I'll give everybody a tip here, and I threw it in the video. And I'm telling you, Brad, when you go to set yours up, put those set screws in from the backside, and you can hand feed it in almost to where it hits the bottom, and now it'll slide in the track. And then when you get it in point in that ring, there's a hole, and we give you an Allen key, and you can tighten that down, and it's a friction fit in that, in the actual track.
So it pushes towards the back of the track.
Yeah, correct. And that'll hold it in place. Like, you'll tighten that down and you ain't moving that thing at all. It's like putting some in our gear track in a kayak. Like it's, you know, fits in there perfectly. But that way you can adjust. Like, if you got bigger reels and then your next three rods, you know, are crappie rods with smaller reels, now you can stack those closer together. But a lot of people try feeding that set screw in from the top of the ring, and they really struggle with it. So you just feed it in from the backside. Yeah. You just feed it in from the backside and then slide it in, and you don't have to go all the way up to the bottom, just enough clearance for it to slide in the rack. And then you just snug it up basically.
That's a good
idea. And I've seen guys too, real quick, you know, when they're doing the horizontal to fit more rods in a smaller section, they'll do, like we were talking about with the hang them high, and they'll rotate like ring, hook, ring, hook, ring, hook going down. So that way now the rods are facing in opposite directions. My OCD would get the best of me, so I just put mine all going the same direction.
Yeah.
So go ahead, man.
I was going to say, so I was trying to figure out how I wanted to mount them, vertical or horizontal. And then I got to thinking, my ceilings in my garage, they're like 7.5 feet. My rods aren't going to fit. So I'm probably going to have to mount them horizontal. I really like that.
You can mount that on the ceiling too, if you wanted to do that. The only trouble is, like, you know, you're not fishing out of a big boat. I don't know how safe you feel like standing in your kayak on your trailer, if you still got your trailer to get up there to get your rods.
But if I can reach up and touch the ceiling though.
Then you're good, dude, because that's going to come down off the ceiling. What is it? I think from track to the bottom of the ring, if my memory serves me correct, is like 3.5-4 inches.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be perfect for your garage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do that. I'll have to think about it. But, yeah, I was really struggling how I wanted to mount them. But it was funny, before you even sent these to us, I was thinking about buying some kind of rack system for this
reason. Well, you had said that. Yeah, you had said that. And I think, you know, when I reached out to you guys and I was like, hey, let me send you guys some stuff and, you know, check it out. And then, you know, we'll jump on a podcast and talk about it. And, you know, you were like, dude, I was just thinking about that. And I'm like, perfect. You know, I got your solution, bro. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. And I wanted to send you guys well, I wanted to send you guys both styles, you know, and Matt's like, well, I'm going to put mine in my basement and, you know, I don't have wall space, but the ceiling. And I was like, dude, I got you covered. I got the perfect
thing. Oh yeah, dude. The second I got it, I was literally looking at it. Cause it literally just takes for the hang 'em highs. It's just four number eight screws, set screws. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And it is the, like this width is perfect for guys who have it in the basement. This width is perfect to fit my cross beams right above me.
Yep.
Dude, it's going to be money.
I was going to say, your basement's unfinished. You just got to throw some screws up in there and you're good to go.
Oh, dude, it's going to take me 8 seconds. It's the only thing that's going to take me longer is if I decide to drill a pilot hole or not. That's about it.
And that's how it was when I mounted mine in my garage, you know, that shelf, it's just 2x4s with a sheet of plywood on top of it, you know? So I just screwed right into those 2x4s. I was literally done in, like you said, 3 minutes. I pretty much laid everything out and I was like, okay, zimp, 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 done. Like, you know,
I was thinking if I was going to put it on the wall horizontal, I was thinking about using wall anchors. Do you think that would be all right idea?
Yeah. So, in that video I shot, I definitely mentioned that, and I would, you know, you come from the remodeling background, Brad, you know, nowadays there's so many different styles of wall anchors and, you know, you can get the big ones that'll hold like 150 pounds on one wall anchor. That's total overkill. But, you know, depending on, you know, because we have a lot of people that use these in salt water and they'll mount them on their boats under the canopies and the salt boats.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of guys that mount salt waters and we have this thing called a tournament rod holder. And it's like the stuff you see when they're catching tunas and stuff with the huge reels on it. And it's a mount that goes into the track and it'll actually hold the reel on that one side versus sticking a butt end in, because usually they got those goofy butts that like come out and then angle down to go in the rod holder portion. Yeah, there you go, man. And that's all, I think that's all brass, those pieces, but it's an easy solution for those guys with the saltwater stuff. And they mount them up on the canopies in their boats. It's super cool. There might be a picture there. I'm not sure of it mounted in a boat. If not, I know we got one on our Instagrams or Facebook page, one of the two. But, you know, going back to your, you know, what we were originally talking about, you know, it's you can mount it whatever way you want. I mean, hell, you can mount it at an angle. But with the drywall anchors, you know, for typical bass rods, if you got a 40-pound drywall anchor, you'd be totally fine. Totally fine. Because, I mean, your rods don't weigh that much. I mean,
They're starting to get lighter. I mean, it's not like it was when we were all younger. We were getting rods. Like, I found my kid rod, not even a kid rod. I was like 14 or 15. It was a, what was it? It was an old ugly stick. Yeah. And that thing is like, feels like a tank compared to my X-Matrix or even my wife's push button ugly stick. It feels like it weighs four, like a cat. It'd be like a deep sea rod. And I was like, man, this thing is only set for 12 pounds and it feels like it's 8 pounds.
I mean, I would say for all your conventional rods, from your crappie rod up to your musky rod, like a 40-pound drywall anchor, 50 pound, even like 50 would be overkill because you're not putting 50 pounds on there, but drywall anchors, totally fine. We've had a lot of customers do that. You know, and if you want to take that extra step, instead of putting two in each rail, do three, you know, like we have the holes there for you to do that. Is that overkill? In my opinion, yes. Just having a construction background, but you know, it'd be more than sufficient, more than sufficient.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, man.
Okay. So ran through the rod holders, which I think you undersell it a little bit. This is something that I really think a lot of people should look at, especially if they're starting to get into, you know, into kayak fishing, into fishing period. You're going to end up, if you fall in love with it, it's the endless pit. I tell everyone, get your kids hooked on fishing because they'll never have money for drugs.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? Like, and I briefly mentioned it at the beginning, like when I briefly mentioned the rod holders, like I freaking scream at my old man every time I go to his house and I walk through his garage. He's got like a mound of rods just laying on the ground on the floor. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, seriously. And we're not talking cheap rods, okay? Because he's got a kid that's hooked up with Douglas and, like, you know, he likes to buy high-end crap, you know? And I'm like, dude, like, this just makes me cringe every time I see it. So I actually got a Tracker Rod Plus system for him. I have to go over there and mount it still. But I'm like, dude, like, no more. Like, this is going to end. And, you know, in the past, he's like, I broke a freaking rod tip. Can you order me a rod? And I'm like, dude, like, how? And he's just like, you know, I hit the garage door. It wasn't open all the way. And I turned around, pulling it out of the back of my truck. And I'm like, dude, like, seriously? You know, or like, you know, he knocks something over in the garage. And I'm like, dude, like, seriously, this could all be avoided. At least stack him in the corner instead of laying on the damn floor. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, right? Like, we've all been there. You know, you stack your rods in the corner, you go to grab one or two, and now five fall over. You know, this is that simple solution. And that's the thing too, right? Like, some of the other rod holders on the market for, like, storage wise, like, you're paying like $50 to $100, I've seen. Whereas, you know, that hang 'em high is $25. That'll hold 16 rods, eight to 16. And I mean, you could obviously go less, but it's up off the floor, out of the way, you know, no problem. That Tracker Rod Plus is $32.50, I believe. But when you order just like the 2 foot Tracker Rod, that's a little less. I think it's like $28 or something like that, because you have a couple less parts.
Yeah.
And you could only hold 6 rods versus 8 with the Tracker Rod Plus. So, I mean, you're talking, like, you know, like I've always said, I've spent way more money on worse things in my life, you know? And if it's protecting your investment or your rods, that is huge, you know? Like I said, like, rods aren't getting cheaper. And granted, like, not everybody's buying high end, you know, Douglas, St. Croix, you know, whoever's, you know, rods. But, you know, even still, like, what's a rod reel combo going for nowadays? Cheap ones are like $80, $90.
Yeah. I'm about to say, you're looking every bit at $70 to $110 for a cheap combo.
I mean, that's, you know, you got 6 rods stacked in the corner. Let's say that's $600. You knock 3 over, step on the tip of one. Well, there goes $100, you know, and you could have solved that problem for less than $35, you know? So,
yeah, that's the crazy thing is the cost. Cause when you sent it to me, I didn't look at it. Cause you said you're sending them. And I was like, I'm not going to look at the website. I'm not going to see what they look like. I want to be surprised
for sure.
So you sent it to me and I was like, dude, this is probably every bit. I think I said $60. I was talking to my wife. It's like, it's like the $60 rod rack. I looked up, it's $25.
Yeah.
Behind me, everyone's seen, I have this thing that cost $8 and it dropped a rod, of course.
Yeah.
I touched it. But I have this like $79 roundabout thing that barely holds rods in, as you just saw. Like, the rod literally just falls out of it when I touch it. It's so stupid. And it was $80. And it holds, like, sure, it holds a lot of rods, but the rods don't fit in it. You can't put rods with reels in it because they always hit each other. It's stupid. So, like, this thing just solves that problem because you can do exactly how you said, where they're kind of not figure eight, but end to end. Because that's how
scissored in there.
Or whatever you want to say. That's, I want to giggle every time I say that.
I know. Trust me, I know. I'm right there with you.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, it's from using a Yakima box, which a lot of us, especially in the kite community, use. You're used to doing it that way anyway. Yeah. It fits. So yeah, I mean, at $25, you'd almost be dumb if you have 8 rods or more. You'd be dumb not to get it.
Well, like, and it's just compact too, right? Like, we're talking 2 feet of space when you're talking, like, you know, ceiling space. You know, like, I mean, this room I'm in right now is probably 10 by 11. I don't know. This is my little office room. But, you know, like, literally, like, you know, you got 10 feet going one way and, yeah, it's probably 10 by 12. But regardless, you know, you got plenty of ceiling space, you know. So if you don't have the wall space, you know, the only struggle is like we were talking about with Brad's situation, right? Like, he's fortunate enough, he's got short ceilings in his garage. But on the flip side, if you got a little step stool or a 4-foot ladder, well, that problem's just gone because you can reach end to end on that rock or rack, being on a little step stool. You know, you could reach from one side to the other and get all your rods up and down super easy, you know? So, I mean, yeah, for the cost versus the protection of your investment, dude, it's a no-brainer in my book, you know? And again, that goes back to all of our stuff being made in-house. Like, you know, have we had all those things made overseas? Now you got all the shipping plus, you know, this and that. And, you know, in the fishing world, you got to pay an excise tax and stuff like that. So it's just like, you know, it all adds up. And then, you know, who eats that cost? You guys, the end consumers, you know, and we don't want to do that. You know, we know, like, you'd much rather spend your money on baits and expensive rods and reels. So, why not, you know, make a cheap investment item for you. And that's, you know, part of our company motto, like we talked about earlier. You know, we're always looking for simple, affordable solutions that, you know, every fisherman can use, you know, regardless what they're fishing for. So.
That's a good segue. You mentioned baits, and I know DeBro Fishing, they're dabbling in baits now. And
yeah,
you're actually changing the process.
Yeah. So, you know, we got a few patterns, you know, they're simple patterns. We got a crawfish, a Ned style craw, a finesse worm, a Senko style bait, and a swim bait. So we got a couple simple patterns, and it was before I got there, you know, and they had purchased them, and like a lot of other companies out there, it, you know, we get them from an injection or a bait molding maker. That's big here in the States, and, you know, they're sold under our brand. But, you know, again, made in the USA, important factor to us. So they've kind of dabbled in it, and, you know, when they first came out with it, they put a lot of energy behind it and it kind of took off, and then they kind of dropped off because the X, Y, and Z became more important at the time. And then COVID hit, and, you know, just haven't pumped them up. So a lot of people don't know about them. You know, I like the swim baits. The swim baits are nice. They got some nice tail action on them. You know, and they come packaged in a clamshell, so your tails aren't getting all folded over and swimming funny and stuff like that. And I think we got, it's 4 or 5 different colors in that. And they're pretty much your common colors, you know. My boss, you guys would get along with him because he loves smallmouth and
best fish on earth.
Yeah, that's why he kind of chose those colors he did, you know. But, you know, we're kind of lacking in some color options and even more bait patterns. So we've been talking, and we're going to start expanding on that. And then we're pretty much going to bring all the bait making in house, you know, for plastics.
That's awesome.
So it'll be super cool, man. And that's the thing, right? Like we've been talking about, it's like, you know, we want to be able to dictate what's in our plastics, you know, how they act, how they react, and be able to offer more, you know, with our manufacturing capabilities, our packaging capabilities. Like we have our own print shop in our place, and it's this huge section of our warehouse. And so, you know, we can make all the packaging there, things like that. So, you know, we already got all the bags pre-made up, and then we slap a sticker on there, what the bait is and what the color is, and a SKU. So, you know, some of our, you know, dealers and stuff can stock those on the shelf, and, you know, be able to put those in their, you know, POS systems and things like that. So, you know, we're definitely expanding on that aspect. But, you know, it's picking up, and, you know, where I've been working on putting a lot of effort behind, you know, just getting the name out there that, hey, we make some baits and they're affordable too. You know, it's, like the swim baits, the most expensive part of swim baits is that packaging. You know what I mean? Like, and if, you know, if we could figure out a way how to make that cheaper, we would, but you know how it is, you know, Kitek's coming that, who's the other one? Is it Strike King that makes that swing?
Kitek, Strike King, the Rage Tail comes in that.
Yeah, Rage Tail was who I was thinking of. Yeah,
the Big Bites baits comes in that. Yeah. Like a lot of guys who use swim baits are using those clamshells now. And
it makes a difference, dude. It used to make me cringe. Shout out to the Trash Panda, aka Josh Eldridge. He would throw all his Kitek in a gallon Ziploc baggie, and I'm like, "What are you doing, dude? Like, seriously, half of those baits are going to be junk." And I'd watch him too, dude. The couple of times I fished with him, he'd like open the bag up, like he was picking through trying to find like that you know full Dorito that's got all the cool ranch on it, you know, because all the tails were all jacked up on it, you know. So it's like, dude, you could have solved that. Yeah, your storage solution makes sense because now you got this bag versus 10 of these clamshells in your boat. But at the end of the day, dude, like, it's, you know, preserving your baits, you know. Oh, so
yeah. But it's cool, man. Do weird stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we got go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I was gonna say the swim baits are the thing that caught my eye, and the crawls that you guys have. And those crawls remind me of the chigger crawl.
Yeah,
that I like to use on trailers for gigs.
Yeah, it's got a nice craw, you know, pincher arm pattern to it, you know, where you got that flailing action. It always reminds me of Wayne's
Wacky World Wavy Lake. Inflatable
arm flailing. Yeah, one of those too. Yeah, but Wayne's World, where he was like, that's what I always think of. You know, I grew up in the 90s, but you know, but yeah,
I can't wait for Dale Hollow to throw the jig in one of those trailers on.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, Matt Gibson is one of our team ambassadors, and we put out a little video that he did up, and it was titled Trimming Plastics. It's on our YouTube page. Just search Dubro Pine Ridge on YouTube, and you'll go to our channel. But he did a thing on trimming plastics. So he took one of our swim baits, trimmed that down, and put it on a spinner bait, and then he took that craw and he put it on a jig, on a regular jig and a finesse jig as well. So, and he kind of showed how he likes to trim up his plastics and things like that. And, it's a cool little like minute and a half video, 2 minute video. But you can get some cool ideas from it. I forget. I think it was on the swim bait. He kind of did like a bevel around the plastic, and it made that profile when it gets up by the skirt a lot smoother. It was actually kind of cool and nice.
Huh.
So
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I just subscribed.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. And we got a cool little underwater video. It's the smaller craw that goes on a Ned rig. We got a cool little underwater video of that. And those claws kind of float and just kind of flail out there. Kind of like Z-Man's TRD craw, you know. It's definitely not a Lastec plastic, but that action is very similar, and those are like stupid cheap. I think those are like $350 a bag, and there's 10 of them in there, I think, or something.
Yeah, so I was looking at all your guys' prices. Most of them like $399.
Yeah. Something like that. And like I said, dude, like affordable. The stuff works, you know. It's like, you know, we're not out to, you know, be driving Bentleys and Escalades into work every day. You know, we just want to, you know, pay the bills and, you know, do what we do, you know, as long as
a thing.
I don't know, but
Escalades.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yes, they do. I just did work for a customer. He had a brand new one, and that thing looked.
Oh.
Yeah, it was probably $150,000 later, you know.
Yep.
Jesus. But
his was fully loaded.
Lord.
I mean, that's just it, right? Like, we're not out to gouge anybody, you know. We try to be realistic with our prices, and you know, obviously we cover our costs, we get a little bit of profit, and you know, we let you guys have a great product that's affordable, you know.
So with that said, since you guys are going to start doing it in-house and stuff and doing CNC, is that going to drive the price up a little bit, you think?
No, I don't think so. I think if anything, it'll drive it down a little bit.
That's cool.
Or stay exactly the same. You know what I mean? It all depends. You know, there's some options there, and there's some things we're looking at doing. But I think if you see anything, it'll stay flat the same. You know, like I said, I would like to get the cost of the swim baits down. And like I said, that price all reflects on those clamshells, because we're not ordering 8 million at a time. You know, we're ordering small batches, and as things grow, like, hopefully that price comes down when we can order bigger quantities of those. That's just how it works, you know. And but you know, I think for the most part you'll see it kind of stay flat the same, maybe. And I'm saying if it goes down, you're maybe talking like 10 cents 20 cents a pack, something like that, you know. But more than likely it'll stay pretty flat. I just want to work on getting those swim bait prices down a little bit more, because I think that would be way more enticing to the average angler. I mean, like I said, it's a great swim bait, but if you're looking at our swim baits compared to Kytex and you're like, well, I can save $1.50 or $2 a pack on Dewey baits versus Kytex, I'm going with Dewey baits. And if I got the same amount of action in it, you know what I mean?
So,
I mean, that's kind of where our mindset's at and where we go about it, you know, and we're not cutting corners. Like, that's a thing. Like, quality is a big thing for us. So, you know, if it means we got to keep it at the same price to put a better product out there, great. Like, let's do it. You know, if we got to spend a little more on the back end to keep it just as good, or if not better, we're going to do that.
I'm excited to see what your guys' designs are when you start making your own. Cause that's always interesting to me.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Trust Especially me, coming from ideas. Somebody that's exactly what I was getting ready to say. Especially coming from you. Because like the biggest advantage that Dewey really lucked out. Not Dewey, but DeBro really lucked out when they brought you on, and you're going to be like, well, you know, I don't care. I'm pumping you up a little bit, because you've been in this industry for so long. And not only as someone who's in the podcast game and then the, you know, advertising game for whether it's pro staff or companies or something, just running your own brand, you're a fisherman. And it's not you're coming in like, oh, all these people love this bait, so let's make our own version of that. But like, no, man, I already know, because your ideas in your head are probably stuff we haven't either seen or something that completely improves on something we have that we all wish we had better.
Right. And I just had that conversation with the boss man the other day. I was like, look, we're not going to reinvent the Senko. You know what I mean? Like, or the stick bait, right? Whatever you want to refer to it as. Like, that's a staple in the bass fishing world, right?
Yep.
But
yep.
There's some other baits out there that we could, you know, put our own twist on, make it do some different things on the way it's designed and the little subtle changes that you can make to it to make it a better bait. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, you see all the bait companies just doing these subtle little tweaks, but it gives it that little bit different action or a little bit more float or a little more this. And that's just it, right? Like, and that's how you separate yourself. I mean, I use this as an example on so many levels, you know, love them or hate them, but the Guggen Squad, I mean, look what they do. Like, you know, they've come out with some cool baits. I use some of their baits, and you know, it's because they made those subtle differences and those subtle changes that makes them stand out from the rest, you know. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Z-Man and the Elastec, you know, like some of the baits they make are just like, you'll never beat that. So, you know, you could try to replicate it. Sure. Why not? And make it a little more affordable. Is it going to last as long? Probably not. Cause they got the lockdown on the Elastec, you know, plastic, but you know, you could do some cool little different stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Brad, you got anything else?
I don't. There was one other thing we were going to talk about, wasn't it?
So yeah, there's two things. So real quick, the first one we'll just touch on briefly is the bottle top line stripper.
Yeah.
So we make this little thing that you could take any water bottle and turn it into a line stripper with a drill. And it's like $7. And I did this before I even knew about DeBro. And I would put a self-tapping screw through the lid of a bottle and I tighten it down in the drill. But the problem with that is the bottle starts getting all like wobbly and you know, the hole eggs out. So you're good for like stripping two lines. Well, this piece, it's got a nut that tightens on both sides and it's reusable. And one of our walleye pros, he's a guide out on Lake Erie. He did a test and he opened the bale on 6 rods, tied the lines around, stripped 6 rods all at once.
Oh, that's crazy.
So you could strip line really quick with this thing. And for $7, it sits in your little toolbox. And every time you got to go strip a rod, all you got to do is grab one of the junk water bottles in your kayak, drill a hole in the top, tighten the line stripper on there, wrap the line around the bottle twice, hit the trigger on the drill, and you're taking off instead of sitting there doing this.
Yeah. You know, that's what I do every time I do it.
Yeah, dude, it saves so much time, much time. And the nice thing too, right? It, you know, with the exception of braid, but if you're stripping mono or fluoro, once that's done, you can throw it in the recycling bin.
Yeah.
You recycle your line, all that stuff. Braid, you'd have to throw it in the garbage because that's not recyclable. But, you know, it's nice to still have that, you know, environmentally friendly piece to
braid's not recyclable.
Not that I'm aware of. It might.
Oh man, I've been throwing braid in those little like recycle bins at the park for a long time.
Matt's killing the planet here. But
I didn't know.
Let me. Yeah.
This is He's why like, I just yeah, throw everything
in the government.
Yeah. Right.
That's funny.
So this other item is actually an old item that we're bringing back, and I'll share it up on the screen here. It's going to be a nice little tool piece that will work in a boat, in a kayak, in your garage, wherever you want to use it. I think we've renamed it to call it the Hangman. So what you got is a piece of gear track that we use for our rod holders. And it's got a piece of foam on each side. And then in the center is a tool holder. And then right in the center of that tool holder is a razor blade that can be replaced. So you can cut your line and stuff like that. Gibson actually just put out a reel today of using it. And I tested it out as well, where you can literally get the eyelet of your hook right into those little slots and cut your line right at the eyelet of your hook or bait or whatever it may be. And then tag ends too, you just pull it down, slip it right over that razor blade, cuts it right off. Now you got a tiny little tag end or however big you want your tag end. But you could see the slots here. So I got the razor blade circled. You loosen this screw just a little bit, that blade will slide out and you can pop a new one in as it goes bad. And it's your typical razor blade, 10-15 cents a piece.
Like a utility knife blade.
So it's not a utility knife blade. It's like the actual square back razor blade.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So, you know, like most utility blades have the angled front and back. Yep. This is like the old school razor blades where it's like just a rectangle, but it's got the thicker metal piece on the backside of the actual razor blade. And we got insets.
It's like a shaving blade.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got insets in the back of that plastic piece there to account for that thicker piece. So it holds that blade nice and stiff. And then obviously you could see like tool holders if you wanted scissors up here for trimming your plastics. These front holes, now you could hook tethers to that. And so now you got a tether running your pliers, your tools, whatever, you know. So it's a nice little thing. That whole plastic piece is, I think it's like 3.5-4 inches wide. So it's nice, small, compact. And that's, you know, in the kayak world, that's what we're always looking for, you know. So, and then like this one pictured has got a, oh, there's our walleye guy.
Oh Lord.
Oh, you want to see that?
There you go. That's a tanker.
That's a big one.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He catches them, man. He's up on Erie. He's up by Port Clinton. Oh, there's Jay and Dustin. Why am I forgetting his name? His name is, or his guide service is Big Water Fishing. But that current track piece right there, it's got the plastic end cap. So now you're, you know, the ends of your track aren't cutting you up or whatever. Yeah. That piece currently in that photo is, I think it's 11 inches. But we may do just like a 6-inch version. So now you can basically cut it off, you know, right where the plastic thing starts, and then just have a piece of foam to hang your baits on. You just stick your hooks in that foam, and you have a smaller, more condensed thing. Like for me on my new canoe, because it's got that flat side, I'm going to mount mine to the end of the seat or the edge of the seat. So everything's right there at the side of my seat. Mm-hmm. I can just grab it. Idea. I could reach down, cut the line. But I did come up with a way to mount it in a gear track. So we'll have that option. I tested it on a Frontier 12 today and an Unlimited. Let me airdrop this photo. And
gosh, I love Zach, Apple for that reason. Yeah, let me airdrop this real quick.
Hopefully.
I said it too soon. I also love Apple because I can just airdrop random stuff on planes and buses and stuff. It's awesome.
to random people.
Yep. Whenever I see one available, I will airdrop something. That's it could funny. Be something as just a meme, or it could be something very not great. I did it at Disney and I made a family cringe. So
so this is it mounted in a gear track, and basically what I got is a riser piece below the track, and the actual aluminum track mounts into that riser piece, and then that riser piece has a hole coming up through it, so now you can mount it with a track bolt and it brings it up off your deck, so your pliers aren't scraping the bottom of your deck. I just threw a pair of scissors on there, and then I got a shaky head that I had at the office. I was like, crap, I need a bait, and I didn't want to go through the boss's boat, because if he went through my boat, I'd probably be pissed. So I just grabbed that shaky head and I put it in there, so you could see what it looks like with a hook hanging out of it, you know. So as you're changing baits, instead of changing your bait and throwing it in a cup holder and then digging through it and getting poked by all your damn hooks when you're looking for it, now you could just hang that stuff right there and have it ready to go, and not poke yourself like you got diabetes or something. And no offense to the folks that have diabetes, you know what I mean? Like nobody,
for everyone out there, don't get mad at us for that. That was our boss who said that. Yeah. So write him.
I'm not saying anything about, diabetics. My old man's diabetic. And I feel for him, like I don't like getting poked. So why would you,
true.
Some people are into those kinds of weird things. Not me, but, it's a nice simple solution. That the tool holder and the line cutter piece, because there's some things on the markets where people use them to cut lines, but once those blades go bad, you got to throw it away and buy a new one. You could run to your local hardware store, and like I said, usually you can get like a 3 or a 10 pack of those blades for like anywhere between 50 cents and $2. I mean? And it'll cut braid, it'll cut mono, it'll cut fluoro like butter. So
it just reminded me, those blades. So I work construction. We take out a lot of bathrooms and stuff. The old medicine cabinets, they used to have a little slot in there where they drop the used blades. Yep. We'd rip the walls off. You'd see a big pile of blades down in the wall.
Oh yeah. I've found my fair share. Or the carpet guys used to have these carpet cutters So oh, you'll find them laying on the subfloor underneath the carpet padding. It's like, I found that in my old place and I was like, Jesus, dude, we could have had a razor blade come up through the carpet through my foot, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Not to freak everybody out, but yeah, I mean, carpet guys, that's what they do. I was a hardwood flooring guy, so I'll give those guys a hard time all day long.
There's blades in your floors, people.
Yeah.
They're going to cut you if you don't take your carpet out.
Yeah, it's true. I've come across that same thing on your carpet too. So.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But
what's cool about that last product you showed, Brian, is when you kind of went into it when you're like, oh, you know, you have your baits kind of there and you don't have to go hunting through a cup. If anybody who's been a tournament angler and you like to prep, you'll typically have a couple baits out ready to go. Yep. And you'll either put them in a cup holder. I used to just put mine in a cup holder. Or there's other products that are out there that have it, but essentially the other products are just extended cup holders. That's all they are.
Sure. Yeah.
So with something like this, you can really look at if you're a tournament angler, you can have everything right there. And if you have a plan where you practice and they're biting a crank, a jerk, shaky head, and then blah, 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 or jig, you can have all those prepped ready to go. If you're going out minimalistic rods, you have six baits ready to tie on with your line cutter right there. It's all built in. It lifts it off the deck. You can get it out of the way next to your seat where it's not in the way. I think that's a lot of people are going to flock to that. I think they're going to really utilize it.
Yeah. And you're not fumbling around with scissors trying to cut that knot. Like I said, when I cut the line off that shaky head that was hanging there, I wanted to test it. Cause I was talking to Gibson about it. And cause I had sent him one. And he was like, oh man, how close can I get the tag end with that? Cause he wasn't looking at it at the time we were talking and he was worried that the plastic that where the plastic slots are, you couldn't get in there enough. And this morning when I mounted that to the kayak, I literally slid it in and I was like, oh crap. Like I'm on the actual eyelet. So, I mean, pretty much 95% of all your baits are going to fit in that slot opening to get to your eyelet or cut your tag end off or whatever it may be. And now you're not fumbling around with your scissors. You know, the reason why I put scissors in there is for what we were talking about earlier, like trimming your plastics and things like that. Obviously you can't do that with that, but you know, when you're switching baits out, like you're talking in a tournament scenario or retying or whatever, you know, it's bam, it's literally stretch it, slide it, you're done. You know, now you're not picking up your scissors, trying to fumble around, get it all done. You know, we all know how that goes, you know? So, it's just a nice, easy solution. And like I said, it's nice and compact where it's a perfect fit for the kayak. 100%. So those should be released here. I'm hoping by the time this, comes out, if not, it might be a week or two after.
Cool.
So, but I will throw this out there, just because I'm the marketing guy and I get to do this. I will put a PNF code up on the Dubrow Fishing website. So if you guys want to pick up anything that we talked about tonight or some of the other stuff we talked about, we got a lot of bait making tools and things like that. We got all kinds of stuff. Go check us out. It's just dubrowfishing.com. And you could use promo code PNF20 and that'll save you 20%.
There you go.
Matt's like, I'm writing that down.
You're lucky. I have it like every other show, which I was going to say, you can ask, but really props most of our shows. And you probably see all the times we say, Brian's going to get mad at us when we're talking about stuff. But typically whenever I'm doing a show, I'm going to be sitting like this and I've had somebody like messages like, why are you looking down? I was like, 9 times out of 10, man, I'm looking down because I'm buying stuff from the guy I'm talking to.
Right now. He's done that a few times.
Quite often. I will
drop to tackle.
I will, I'll put that code live tomorrow. So if you guys want to jump on there, I know this isn't going to air for like a week or so. But I'll put it in there tomorrow in case you guys want to pick something up. But, it'll be, PNF 20 and it'll be PNF will be all caps, but, we'll do 20% off and then, that'll work too. That's a nice thing too. I believe, it's over $60. You get free shipping as well. So,
nice.
You know, if you're picking up a rod rack, couple bags of baits and stuff like that, you should get free shipping with that as well. So, I'll make it work in conjunction with that. But yeah, man, it's thanks for you know, taking some free product off my hands and sitting in the chat.
Yeah, we'll have to have you guys back on when
as we release some more things. Like, we're really focusing on the fishing side, you know, fishing and archery. We got a really cool product that we just released at ATA this year. It's basically like a bipod for your crossbow, but it'll also work on AR platforms as well.
So, oh, dope.
And it's super lightweight. Look at Matt. If you want one, I'll send you one, dude.
Matt was saying how he wanted to do some.
His eyes lit up a little bit.
He wants to do some hunting shows.
Yeah, dude. If you guys want to talk archery one time,
let's do it.
If you guys want to talk archery one time, let me know. I'll jump on and talk to some Pine Ridge, dude. I mean, we make everything from peep sights to limb dampeners, kisser buttons, D-loop, speed buttons, arrow spinners. We make fletchings, arrow wraps, stabilizers, the bow stand. So that's how that bipod idea came up, is we make a stand so your bow can stand straight up. Let me see if I can find a picture of it. I know I got 8 million of them. that was how the bipod. Yeah, I got one right here. The bipod idea came up for the crossbows, because when you're out crossbow hunting, a lot of guys are setting that on the ground, and then, you know, deer or whatever they're hunting is coming by. And that's here. I got it on a bow. Let me share this. I got it on a window here. There you go.
Are you talking about the new one or the old one?
So this is the existing bow stand. So we made a piece that goes in the jaws there, and those jaws will adjust for any bow on the market, and keep your bow standing upright. So a lot of target shooters like using them. Huh.
I've got the new one if you want me to show it.
Go ahead. Yeah, there you go. Bam. So a lot of guys were struggling, cool. Like they'd have their crossbow sitting down on the ground, and then their broadhead would catch the grass or whatever they were hunting in. And now that keeps your, you know, your limbs up off the ground, your broadhead out of the grass, your cams out of the dirt, and that's it on an AR. I took all those photos, by the way.
Nice.
Just want to say. And that's the piece that goes in the existing stand. So it'll like mount
a Picatinny adapter.
Yeah. It'll mount to any Picatinny rail. That screw that goes through will lock it in place on that Picatinny rail and clamp it down. And then our bow stand just goes around those little notches in the bottom. So it's super sturdy. So it's a cool little thing. But yeah, dude, anytime you guys want to talk archery, you just let me know. And I know a bunch of people now in the archery industry, so I can hook you up with some folks. Just saying.
Let's go. I'm about it. So, I'm about it.
But yeah, all right. I mean, if you guys are hunters too, check out Pine Ridge Archery. There's a link on the Dubro fishing tab. And if you guys are in remote control stuff, airplanes, boats, cars, check out Dubro. I'm sure you guys already know about it if you're into that world, but yeah, check it out. And I'll put that code live for the fishing stuff when this show airs, or I'll do it tomorrow, but it'll be live.
About remote control stuff,
what's that?
It's expensive.
Yeah,
like I really wanted to get like a remote control airplane, mostly just to piss my neighbors off.
So,
and it's expensive.
You can get some cheaper models, which I highly recommend. Because
I want like an F-18, man.
Yeah, that's expensive. That's super expensive. The motors that they're putting actual jet motors in those things. The motor alone is the smaller one, I think, is like $2,000.
Yeah, not cheap, man. And dude, I watch videos of people and they're like, yeah, my whole plane costs like $15,000. And then it's in the air for 8 seconds and it runs into another plane and explodes.
So Ohio, there's some guys, look them up on YouTube. It's Flite, FLITE, test. flight test. These guys build stuff from scratch, airplanes and stuff, and helicopters. And they're in Ohio, and they bought like this neighborhood. It's a bunch of guys, and they bought a bunch of houses on a bunch of land. And they have their own like runway and stuff. And they like, I was watching a video of those guys today. They built this plane that is bigger than me. Like it's literally like 10 feet long.
Crazy.
Like the wingspan is, the wingspan on it alone has got to be 15 feet. Like they had to take the wings off to get it out of the door of their shop and then reassemble them onto the plane out in the field. And if this dude had to be at least almost 6 foot tall, and the one side of the wing was as tall as he was.
Jeez.
Like dudes get crazy. They do some
cool. That's awesome. Crazy. Like I want that. I want that. And I just want to like, cause we live right next to an Air Force base. So one, I want to piss off the Air Force. Cause I like to do it when I was in. So I want to do it now. And two, like, so when we run, Brad knows where we run softball tournaments, yeah. But it's, you can see like Air Force One will fly down and get maintenance done at Wright Pat.
Sure.
And I will, like, I put a drone up to like do video for our website and stuff. That's insane. Oh, A10. I love it. It's the best thing on earth.
Yeah.
I put a drone up to get some footage for the website for our tournaments. Yeah. And let me tell you, man, it is the fastest I've ever seen anyone in the Air Force ever move that came flying around the gate and the fence to tell me to not do that because I was in government airspace. And yeah. I was like, no, I'm not. You're stupid. And they're like, yes, you are. So I did it anyway. And yeah, so, but yeah, man, I just want to take some people off, but I didn't know it would be like a small personal loan just to get one in the air before I explode it against someone's house.
If you want to get into it, we got a guy that, does a lot of stuff for us on the, RC hobby side. And he's a really cool dude, Terry Dunn. He's up in Wisconsin, but he could point you in the right direction and get into a cheaper price point plane and get you squared away on how to fly it and all that stuff. Like super knowledgeable dude. I forget how many planes that guy's got, but it's a lot. And he does a lot of our, instructional videos for the hobby side of things. So, cool dude. And, yeah, we make a lot of the hardware parts and stuff. And we actually got some closeout planes. I don't think they have motors in them, but we got closeout planes for real cheap. There was an old, model maker that went out of business and we bought off, all their leftover inventory. So we got those on closeout on our website. And they're like, I think the cheap one's like $150. But you got to get the electronics in the motor for it. So
it's always a catch.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's where your cost is the electronic end of things. Yeah. You know? But, yeah. You know, you could probably build a plane right now for like, I'd say like $300. I mean, it is a decent chunk of change. But if you wanted to get into it, I will say everybody that I know that has gotten into it, they get addicted, you know. If you're a tinkerer or a builder type guy, like you'll get into it and you'll be like, oh damn,
that's just what I need. What my wife needs is me to get addicted to another expensive hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome. But, you're welcome, Matt.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. But, guys, everyone, thanks for hanging on with us. If you're still with us at the end of the show, definitely check out DeBro. They've got fishing, hunting, or archery hunting stuff. RC stuff, everything imaginable. So check them out on all their websites. We'll have them all linked down below, as well as the Hang 'em High and the Rack Plus
Track
video.
Rack Plus.
Track. Yep. There it is. have that video down below that Brian did. We'll have that linked. And yeah, Brian, it looked like you had something else.
One more thing. We got some badass sun shirts made in the USA that we sell as well, hooded and no hood. So check those out when you guys are on the website as well. We're working on some more swag as well, bringing that stuff in. But the sun shirts we got are awesome, and they're not like ridiculously expensive. I think they're listed at like $49.
Oh, that's, man, good, that's price. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got like, some of them have like the, American flag silhouette, like going down the backside, and then it says DeBro on the sleeves. And then, the DeBro fishing logo on the chest, like up by the pocket area, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, check those out. I wanted to throw that out there because those things are sweet.
Heck yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely have to check them out. And remember, everybody, PNF, three letters, 20% off your order, DeBroFishing.com. Is that all through the DeBro stuff, just the fishing stuff?
That'll be just on the fishing. Right. If somebody wants that listens to this and wants to buy something on the archery side or the hobby side, email me. It's bschiller, S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R, at DeBro.com. DeBro.com, and I'll get you a discount code for those two as well. So
sounds good.
There we go. Well, I've got nothing else. Brad, I know you don't have nothing else. So everyone, nope. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Final Cast on the Paddle and Fin Network. It's been fun, but we gotta go.
Woohoo! See ya.